Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 463 of the Milk Bar. Jason Frost here with you as ever this week. And coming up on the show, we'll be hearing from Alexandra Burke all about a slim dance and how you can dance yourself into the right shape. Maybe with a little help from Slim Fast too. Dina Payne lets us know about Ladies' Day. That's on its way to the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton. And it'll also feature the one and only Tony Christie. He'll be in the studio with me too, finding out all about that from him. On top of that, all that's on the way. But first of all,
from the 15th to the 19th of May, Joe Pasquale is the inimitable Frank Spencer at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, and some mothers do have him. And he joins now on the phone for a bit of a chat. Hello, sir.
Hi, Jason. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. And this must be quite a good, fun role to come into. And like me, you probably watched this on telly as a kid.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, so it's the best job in the world. You know, I've been doing this for 30 years, and all the years I've been doing this, I've had three really, you know, this is, you know, like the hat trick for me. I did of my favourite stuff songs growing up. One of them was Monty Python, so I had a chance to do Spamalot on and off for about 2 years. I did it in the West End and on tour. I did Mel Brooks, the producers, for the best part of a year on tour. And then to get a chance to do Frank Spencer, these are the three iconic roles for me that I grew up watching that I just absolutely loved. So who doesn't want to go on stage? Who doesn't want to be Frank Spencer? Throw off all those inhibitions, throw off all that responsibility you have as an adult, and go out and just play for 2 hours a night. It's great.
Sounds absolutely brilliant fun. And of course, Frank had to have a very special kind of voice, and the way you come across has got a good ring to it as well. So this is going to work, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't do an impression of Michael Crawford. We did a two-year workshop on this, basically. We've been working on it for 2 years with the script, and we had three sit-down workshops with a group of actors, and the last one we invited an audience round, and we worked out very early on that it would have been a mistake to try and encapsulate Michael Crawford. So we're doing it as me, and it works to a T. Don't ask me how. It's one of those things that my own personality and voice and all of that fits into it without it being too far away, but not too close to what Michael done with the character as well. So it worked perfectly.
Does this mean your family would tell you probably are quite accident prone around the house? Is there some reality in going on?
Oh, yeah, there's no acting required for me in this at all. I've just got to go out there and bump into furniture. Normally you don't bump into it, but in this case, I do bump into it all the time. And yeah, I have to wear a lot of padding in this because we have quite a few stunts. And the first 2 weeks, I wasn't wearing any padding. I couldn't move after the first 2 weeks at all. So, I'm covered. I had to cover my legs up because there's a bit where I had to take my trousers off. My legs were black and blue. I had to put makeup all over my legs just to cover it because the audience were going, oh, my God, look at the state of his legs, poor little bugger.
But, I mean, this in itself, though, you've got a brilliant cast alongside you, Sarah Earnshaw, Susie Blake, yes. Two of the main ones. And it's going to be brilliant because you've got the mother-in-law and Betty with Susie taking the mother-in-law role, and it's
indeed.
The prune wine, which I assume you've all been brewing for months to be prepared for this, that's going to make a big impact too.
Yes, it does indeed. And the thing is, Susie, as you just said, plays my mother-in-law, Mrs. Fisher, who gets more and more and more drunk as the show goes on, and she is amazing because I don't drink, so the only way I could act drunk was not act it. I'd have to get drunk. I would not know where to begin. And she's just perfect. And you think sometimes you go, is she having drinks? I just can't tell, because it is genius what she puts on that stage every night, night after night.
Now, in this story, you've got the possible moment of newfound fame for Frank, but Betty has got some exciting news too. So is this a story which has been on TV, or is it something that's not from the original series? But
This is a whole new play. This is a whole new play, but there's elements of some parts of this sitcom from 40 years, which was 40 years ago now. So we've got a couple of lines that we've got from there, and there's a couple of storylines in it, but this is something completely different from the television. As I said, this is all about Frank getting on television in a talent show called Stars of Tomorrow, with a couple of those by storylines from the original series as well.
Because it's been quite, as you say, 30 years you've been doing this sort of stuff. It's 30 years since you appeared on ITV's New Faces, and you're actually back at the Grand on the 12th of September with a bit of a show then too.
Yes, I am. Yep, back at the Grand in Wolverhampton. Yeah, I love doing that. It's one of the best comedy gigs in the country, that is. So to go back to Wolverhampton doing that, I just love it. I love doing stand-up as well. What's great about this, we're doing this until the end of July, beginning of August. Then after that, I'm doing stand-up for about 3 months. And then we're putting this back on the road in 2020 in this country, and hopefully next year we're going to Australia, maybe the West End with it. So it's taken off in a big way.
So lots of chances to see a bit of Joe Pasquale across the globe, which is always good.
And yeah, it's going to be great.
And you've already mentioned the fact that you are running around in your underwear. Is it a little bit daunting doing this sort of thing? Have you been doing a bit of a leg workout?
No. It's Frank Spencer. Imagine Frank going out looking like a gladiator. I don't think that would work. No, he has to have little spindly legs, which, frankly, I know how to inquire on that as well. I've got spindly legs, so it's fine, Jason.
Again, fantastic bit of casting again there from that point of view as well. We like it. An amazingly funny show. I've seen some of the reviews. They are looking absolutely amazing for you. It's going to be brilliant when it comes to the Grand. Yeah. And what's your favourite bit of the show?
It's one of those things. I don't know. There's so many bits because I'm on for the whole 2 hours.
Yeah.
There's the only one scene I'm not in, which is the very beginning. It's about 2 minutes I'm not on, so it's difficult to choose. It's a glut of comedy for the audience. It's like a greyhound of comedy. It comes at you so quick, and you don't get a chance to breathe. Me in particular, I don't get a chance to breathe at all. Once I'm on, it's like going on a roller coaster for 2 hours, and it's just brilliant. So I think the whole thing in its package and its own is my favourite. Just doing the whole thing every night is great.
Well, a TV show that was known for its stunts and its laughs is brought to the stage. It sounds like you are going to have a great time with it. Get along to see it. Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets, or 01902 429212, the box office number, from Tuesday the 15th through to Saturday the 19th of May. Some others do have them, starring Joe Pasquale at the Grand. Joe, lovely to speak to you. Looking forward to seeing you on stage.
Thank you so much, Jason. God bless, mate.
Right, in a moment's time, we'll be hearing from Alexandra Berg. To put us in the mood for that, let's take a little bit of Broken Heels. A new study commissioned by the University of Coventry has revealed how dance boosts brain power and empowers us to take in the right diet, fitness and lifestyle. Alexandra Burke is spearheading a new campaign, Slim Dance, which champions the power of dance as a powerful weight loss motivator. And she joins me on the line now. Hello, Alexandra.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And now you're also joined by Dr. Peter Lovett, dance psychologist over there. So hello to you.
Well, hello.
So I trust we find you both well.
Yes, thank you.
We are very well, yes. Grooving away.
Grooving away and dancing away in the studio right now. It's great.
Absolutely. We love that idea. Alexandra, I mean, you have done a massive amount with weight loss. You've lost, was it something like 2 stone on your journey?
Yeah, I mean, I basically, SlimFast has the facts. I try not to concentrate on what I've lost. I just concentrate on feeling good. And that's my thing. I never will forget the day that I realised I'd put on a lot of weight. And I call it happy weight because it's when I met my now fiancé, Josh. And, basically ate anything in sight, really. And that was 3 years ago. Now pushing forward 3 years later, I am in a comfortable place in my weight. And that's all down to doing the 3-2-1 plan. And now here is Slim Dance, which is about basically keeping people motivated and helping them reach their weight loss goals by doing dancing. And, you know, I didn't go into Strictly thinking that I was going to lose weight or wanting to. I wanted to just learn some Latin and ballroom. But then as 3 months went on and doing 10 hours a day, my body completely changed. And I've kept it up since the Strictly tour finished earlier this year. But it's not been hard to do it because I love to dance. And any chance that I get, I'm running around the house dancing or doing dance classes and stuff. And I just felt so empowered because of the feeling dance gives you. And it made, you know, just made me feel unstoppable. And if I can encourage anyone to feel that way through dance, then this is the way to do it.
Yeah, because it doesn't need to be someone dancing around at your level of skill. Because, I mean, you're blooming good. The whole street thing proved that to the entire nation. You are a fantastic dancer, but you can also dance like nobody's watching and it'll still do you some good.
Well, you know, the thing is, absolutely, and you can, some people may hear this conversation right now and go, actually, it's a bit, you know, scary to go up and go to a dance class and not have dance experience. It's not about the dance experience. It's about keeping yourself fit. And I always say your health is your wealth. And I always, and that stems back because of history, family problems in my family with health and stuff like that. I always want to encourage people to stay active and to make sure that they put their health first, regardless what they're going through in life, because that's what keeps you here.
And it was something like the Slim Fast 3-2-1 plan, a great way of approaching it as well, because alongside the dance, it can really make a difference. And with the new Vitality Ready to Drink range, there's some good fun things to enjoy there as well, aren't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm so happy you mentioned that, because the new Vitality range, actually, for me, is the best, because it's lactose-free as well. It's got, you know, it's gluten-free, and it's got so much protein, which people always, you know, they go on about they need protein in life and stuff like that. Well, this one's got 26 grams of protein, actually. So it's bloody brilliant. And I would encourage anyone that is on the go and that wants to, you know, do something that works for them, I would always encourage SlimFast, because I've been doing it 3 years now. I'm still on the plan. I'm on one shake a day at the moment because I'm on the maintenance part of the plan. But I love it. And I'm a massive fan of the brand. And it's been 3 years that I've been working with this amazing team. And they've seen my journey. And I've seen and felt the journey happen. And I feel great.
Now, Peter, alongside all of this is the psychology of weight loss and making sure you're in the right place. As Alexandra explains, she knows she's where she wants to be and she's enjoying it. So how does dance work as part of that? There must be some good science behind this.
Oh, there is some great science. What we know is that dancing changes lots of things. It changes our biology, it changes our muscles, and it changes the way we think. So we know, for instance, that when you move your body, it changes the way you think and solve problems. Now, if you think you're about to start a diet or you want to change the way you look, then the first thing you have to do is to change the way you think. And we know from loads of scientific studies that when you move your body in a sort of improvised way, it makes you better at creative thinking. So you don't have to dance like Alexandra, who's a fantastic, beautiful dancer, but you could just dance in your kitchen, in your gym jams, put the radio on, and you could just move around and have a wiggle. And that is enough to change the way you think. We also know that it changes people's cardiovascular functioning. So the sort of exercise you get from dance improves the heart. But then we go, well, doesn't all exercise do that? And we go, no, it doesn't, because one of the other qualities of dance, which is amazing, is that it affects you emotionally. And it bonds people together. So when people dance together in a group, then they feel more motivated to keep dancing and keep coming along, and then they get their exercise. So the science on dance, you know, even we do a lot of research in our lab on the effect of dancing on people with Parkinson's disease, which is a neurodegenerative disorder. And what we've seen is that when people with Parkinson's dance, then it leads to an improvement in some of their symptoms, which is extraordinary. Having a wiggle to some music could change the characteristics of a neurodegenerative disorder. It's incredible.
The magic of getting the blood flow going.
Yeah, it really does. It gets the heart pumping, gets the brain pumping, it gets all your vital organs going. It's really, really good for you as well. Some other studies have even looked at this idea of shared movement. And we know that when people move together in synchrony, they become more pro-social and they bond together as social groups. So one thing we could do with dance is to bring people together. Now, let's imagine you started a new diet or something and you're feeling a bit out on a limb. You're feeling uncomfortable with the way your body looks and feels. There's a whole lot of uncomfortable stuff going on. If we can bond people together who have similar experiences and we get them moving together in something like Slim Dance Together, then it'll help them bond and then they'll be able to share their experiences and they're more likely then to succeed in achieving their goals.
So lots of great ways of approaching your goals when it comes to the likes of your weight loss. But on top of that, I've already mentioned it, if you dance like no one's watching and you shouldn't really care, what is it to build up people's confidence to let them get away from that worry of looking daft when they're on the dance floor?
Exactly. There's looking dance. It doesn't matter how you look on the dance floor. When we're looking at this health benefit associated with it, we've done large surveys. We asked 14,000 people why they do and don't dance. And lots of the reasons people gave us for not dancing is they felt self-conscious. They felt they were being judged. They felt they were the wrong shape and size. But actually, when we can strip away some of those things, people love dance. So if you can build your confidence by dancing on your own, in your sitting room, wherever, that can help you make the next step to dancing more publicly. We've seen this example of people doing belly dancing, people who wouldn't show their bellies at all when they dance. They wanted to cover up. And after 10 or 12 weeks, they're so comfortable in their bodies, doesn't matter what shape or size they are, they strip off and they can start dancing in a way, and they're very proud of their bodies. And that's what we want. We want to increase body confidence.
Well, Peter, I'm guessing it's your belly dancing class tonight. However, Alexandra, you've done some slim dance videos, which we can see online. Fingers crossed we don't see Peter dancing around in just his chiffon.
The thing is, I'm about to tweet something because you haven't seen his moves.
Really?
He's got some moves. He just taught me a little routine.
I'm looking forward to seeing that online. Okay, we'll look out for that one. But where can we find out more about your slim dance videos?
Well, you can actually find all the information on the Slim Fast website and my own website, alexandraburkeofficial.com.
So just look out for that and check out the Slim Fast 3-2-1 plan. And, of course, these new advanced vitality ready-to-drink shakes. And what's your favourite flavour?
Oh, don't start me off because I like them all. The very blast and the chocolate one.
You go and enjoy a nice Slim Fast shake and a bit of dancing, and we will all talk again soon. But for now, Alexandra Burke, singer and TV star, and Dr. Peter Lovett, dance psychologist, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? When it goes like this, and fourth and fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
Once again, thanks to Alexandra Burke for joining us on the show today. And now,
Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre's production of Ladies' Day is on from the 13th through to the 28th of July. Somebody who you may well recognise, probably more as Viv Hope rather than in real life being Dina Payne, is with me now. Hello.
Hi.
So, yeah, okay, you're Viv to the majority of the country, 18 years in Emmerdale, and all the other stuff you've done as well, but Emmerdale's the one that stands out and people will recognise you before. But did you get hats like that in Emmerdale? I don't think you did.
Oh, occasionally I did. Yes. I remember one where she was wearing very dark glasses because she'd had one too many the night before. I can't remember whose wedding it was. Maybe Kelly's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Bright green outfit, bright green hat with black band. So, it's there in photos, but not often.
But is this more your feel when you're wearing something a bit posh, or are you happier in bright green?
I'm not quite as stayed as this myself. I might have a little black number, but it'd be a bit tighter.
Yeah, and you would carry it off beautifully, I'm absolutely sure. But you get some good times in this story, and you get to have a laugh as well. And I think that's one thing we know you for as well. You've gone through the whole gamut of emotions in where we've just seen you on TV, and you get to do that in this play too.
Absolutely, whole gamut, as you say. From there's belly laughs, there's exciting laughs. You know, when your horse is coming in and you're about to win £1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's very moving parts. And when I first read or began to read the play, I felt that Pearl was quite staid and a bit maybe, you know, too up, too down, trusting, mm-hmm. happy families and everything. But there's a little secret there that puts a twinkle in her eye. And it all comes out slowly during the ladies' day.
Uh-huh.
And it's quite sad, really.
But I think that's what Amanda's done with this play, though, isn't it? She's taken, in real life, I mean, because we all have things that we don't talk about in public, and that's even harder when you're in the public eye the same way as you've been, that to have a life which is your life and people don't feel they own all of.
Exactly.
But it is true for anyone, whatever workplace you're in, there's always something going on that no one quite understands and stops them understanding the person that's really there. This is the joy of acting. You get to be somebody else and experience that life for them without all the hassle of the stuff that goes with it.
Absolutely. No, it's so well written. and so very kind of in the now, if you like. And it does depict four completely different women. And the great thing about it, it starts off where they're actually in the factory, so they're all dressed the same, mm-hmm. so which isn't very attractive, really. White coats, white nets over their hair, and white flat shoes. So they all look the same. And when they go to the Ladies' Day, obviously their own characters come out in what they're wearing, and so does a lot of other things about their characters. So, and it seems to me that these women don't really socialise that much together. They've got their families, or not, as the case may be. But lots of things come out during this day. A, they're a fish out of water. Now, I like that, because they're, you know...
Fish packers.
Yes. and they're thrown a bit, but there's everything from actually nicking something to actually kind of spilling a very large secret, but your heart, really. And the reason why Pearl wants to go to the races in the first place mm-hmm. isn't particularly to go and race, bet. It's to find somebody she was looking for. But everybody really sees Pearl as a very kind of... they'd all like to be like Pearl, mm-hmm. happily married, supporting one another. Husband has just got his retirement, so she's retiring too. He would like to spend more time with her, us time, but I can't say it in a Birmingham accent. I've got to practice that. Us and up. I can't say in a Birmingham accent.
You used to be somewhere in North Yorkshire, but you can't. You've got to get the whole Wolverhampton twang and the Midlands twang sorted.
Well, yeah, I've lived in Yorkshire for 25 years. This play was actually written in Hull for Hull. So it's got the northern dialect. So we've got to really tweak it to get a Wolverhampton one. I'm quite happy with a Birmingham accent because my parents come from Birmingham, and so my cousins and my aunts and my uncles are from Birmingham.
So you need to come and stay with them and pick something up.
I've heard that accent all my life. I can tell you, I know a Birmingham accent with an R-E-E-E-E, do you know? So, yeah.
It'd be good fun, though. That's the best
bit. Yeah, absolutely. No, there's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And with this, I say, with everything we know you for, is there anybody that you have played that you think is maybe a little bit close to Pearl that you're going to draw on, or do you think she's going to be completely new to you in the way in which she approaches life?
I haven't really thought about that. I don't know. I've known so many people, but I would just approach.
I played
it
so many parts. Yeah. That's the thing. You've got a massive back catalogue.
Well, I would just make Pearl what I'm given through the text, and I will make her up for myself. You know, I'll make her background and her history up in my mind, and that will be the Pearl.
And that must be an intriguing way of getting into those mindsets. I could not act to save my life. I couldn't even remember lines, let alone try and portray somebody else's personality.
I don't remember lines either. It takes me ages.
But it must be, the way in which everybody approaches a part can be different anyway, can't it?
Absolutely.
So it is your way of acting.
And also, you hit off people as well who you're acting with, and you might find you'll be reading it and you'll learn the lines and but you get responses from Jan, from the other girls and everything, which puts you in another dimension, and so could feed your character, but it's creating their whole ambience at work. I mean, remember, Pearl has been there for 32 years, so I can't look at it as if it's fresh and I don't know what I'm doing. I've got to be there having done it for 32 years. So I've got to create in my mind that all for the last 32 years, this is where I've been every single day.
Yeah.
Bored? Never. and there's two new girls on the block. Mm-hmm. You know, they're much younger. So, I mean, they're bringing different things in. And that's, again, very well picked up in the script by... and the writing, by just, you know, using different kind of words like sick. And Pearl, being a little bit older, said sick doesn't mean, you know...
I'm mid-40s, I haven't got a clue what that means either. It's just one of those things, isn't it?
Supposed to be great, but that's sick. That doesn't do it.
We need to re-educate the children, really, don't we? I think we need to have words, but that'll do the job.
But it's all very well done, and there's all this banter that's pretty normal, and they all look up to Pearl as, you know... You're still married after, 36 years, and what's special? And and she said, well, if I could bottle it, I'd make a fortune.
Absolutely.
You know, so everybody looks to her as she's the one, but actually, Nothing's as you see it, is
okay.
it?
Okay, that's what we like. Intrigue. Intrigue's fantastic. We can see how Pearl comes together. Dina, thank you for having a chat with us about her. Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets. Come and see this lovely lady on stage at the Grand. 01902 429212, the box office number. But it's going to be amazing. It's going to be Ladies' Day, and it runs from the 13th to the 28th of July.
So somebody else who's going to feature in the magic that is Ladies' Day at the Grand Theatre in July is the one and only Tony Christie. Before we hear from him, let's take a little bit of one of his tunes.
Baby, my little lady, dream till the sunrise creeps into your eyes, dream till the sunrise turns.
Ladies' Day features the music of Tony Christie, and he's somebody who is not a stranger to the stage at the Grand, having played there in the past. Tony, good to have a chat with you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I was there definitely in the last 2 years.
And playing to audiences who adore your music.
Oh, I hope so. I was doing a tour, and that the Grand was one of the dates. And it's of the tour, it's the one I remember the most, because I got a fine.
Okay.
The famous bus lane fine.
Oh dear, yeah, always a tricky one. You've got to be careful with that.
My sat nav let me down.
But you're not living too far away, are you, to be fair?
Just over half an hour away in Lichfield.
So a nice little drive over if you fancy getting involved in the gig when it's on. That would be quite a cool thing to do.
They're rejigging it at the moment. The original one I saw in 2009. Mm. They're rewriting it, and it's a bit of a surprise, really, because they feature my music during the scene changes. Mm-hmm. But they also, there may be a time when I do a personal appearance, not riding a horse, though.
That'd be quite tricky, wouldn't it? I don't think it's worthwhile getting the insurance for that one, even. And putting a horse on stage, maybe not so cool.
Maybe not.
But having your music featured in something like this, and you are not unused to having your music pop up all over the place. It must be intriguing when you get the requests through. Do you want to sign off on this one to appear in an advert or something like that? Yeah. And someone like this play, you must have been very keen to have your music featured in.
Well, it was a complete surprise to me, because I'm a 10-minute walk from the Garrick Theatre in Lichfield anyway. Mm-hmm. And the manager just said, pop down. He said, we've got a show on called Ladies' Day, and there's a lot of your music in it. So my wife and I went down, and sure enough, they used a lot of my music for the scene changes. It was nice to hear songs that normally don't get radio play, mm-hmm. To let people hear that I can actually sing.
There's a lot in your back catalogue, though. When you are doing a gig, it must be great to be able to share all of that. And your fans, the people who actually know your music, rather than just enjoying what they do here. I mean, it must be good for them to be able to pop along and enjoy it in this scenario too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very enjoyable, I've got to be honest with you. The whole concept of the play, or the musical, it's very funny, very everything, basically.
And a ready-made fan club in the characters in the show as well.
Yes.
They're sporting their badges. I mean, is there still a real fan club out there in this world of most things being online?
There is, yeah. I've got a quite a good fan base, and we're all keep in contact on Facebook and what have you. Yeah, I'm fortunate after all these years. Yeah.
But you and I remember the days where you'd have newsletters sent out in the post for this sort of thing, and I'm sure you contributed to that sort of stuff back in the day. Yeah. So the whole internet thing is another great way of keeping in touch with people. And you can talk to them directly as well through Twitter and Facebook and things like that. Yeah. And it must be good fun interacting with those who really are enjoying your music that way.
Well, I leave that, all that sort of communication stuff, I leave to my son Sean, mm-hmm. who is my manager.
Yeah.
And he runs my Tony Christie Facebook account.
Yeah.
And I have my personal one, which is a different name. It's my mother's maiden name.
Okay. So no Googling to try and work out what to look for online for that one. That'd be naughty. But all of this going on and the show coming to the Grand, again, you're always in the forefront. I mean, but you've always been heard on the radio, so there's no change there. But it must be great doing it in a different way. And if we can't say too much about what your involvement may be at this time.
Even I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's still a little bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it.
Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets. Tony Christie might be in it. And 01902 42921 the box office number for Ladies' Day at the Grand from the 13th through to the 28th of July. So we know no summer holidays planned for you this year.
No. I'm too busy.
That's the way to do it. Tony Christie, great to meet you. Thanks for having a chat.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
When the day is dawning on a Texas Sunday morning, how I long to be there with Marie, who's waiting for me there. Every lonely city where I hang my hat ain't as half as pretty as where my baby's at. Is this the way to
Amarillo from Tony Christie there on the Milk Bar. Brits are notorious for burying their heads in the sand to avoid bills. To tell us more, somebody who knows a bit about money, Dragon, Sarah Willingham. Hello to you.
Hey, how you doing?
And also, you've got a friend with you as well, haven't you, over there?
I have got a friend.
Shane Clifford from Wonderbill. How you
Shane
doing?
Shane here. He's the founder of the amazing Wonderbill.
So, first of all, I mean, it's good to have you both with us. Thank you for having a chat with us on this one. And there's a new survey of 3,000 UK adults saying Brits do prefer to bury their heads in the sand when managing household bills. And it researchers revealed rather than dealing with the bills, 32% of us prefer to manage by binge-watching box sets to forget about them. That is not paying our bills, is it?
No. So there's a wide variety of tactics employed to avoid tackling bills, and in fact avoiding bills is the most popular way of dealing with them in the UK today. So apart from watching box sets, people also report hoping and praying about their bills, filing them in the rubbish bin or just leaving them in a pile. There was quite a difference actually between the generations. So the older generation tends to have feelings of satisfaction and relief with their bills, so they're really on top of them, but they tend to manage them in old school ways, often quite manual, involving pen and paper, whereas the millennials generally have feelings of anxiety, worry, annoyance about their household bills, possibly because they've had less practice with them, and many have never switched provider before, so they don't even know where to start. And I think the most interesting one for me from the survey was a whopping 42% of people in the UK do not expect to save any money at all on their bills this year. And of the 58% who think they could save, think they could only save £130 per year. Now, the reality is that the average UK household can save over £300 a year on energy alone, and a multiple of that across all of their household bills.
So, Sarah, I mean, coming to you there, I mean, you know a lot about money, having it in the right place at the right times. You've managed all sorts of companies. Do you manage to manage the bills at home as well?
Oh, do you know what? I'm good. I'm good with my bills, actually. I really am. And I think one of the things is I'm a, you know, I was brought up in Stoke, and I'm a proper hustler when it comes to when it comes to my finances. And I from that perspective, I hate the thought of paying more than I need to for anything. It really annoys me. So when with my electricity, for example, why am I paying double the amount per kilowatt hour when I could get exactly the same for half the price? Or why am I paying so much for my broadband when actually I can get an even quicker speed with somebody else, but just by switching? So I'm a really good switcher, and I think it's really important to understand that you can just, it's so easy. You know, you can spend half an hour sitting going through all of your bills, taking control, and you can save so much money. And if you're like me and hate to overpay, you know, that half an hour, if you think about the amount of money that you could save in that time, it's a pretty good hourly rate.
Absolutely, and it is real money. It you can make a massive difference to what you're actually doing there.
It's a holiday.
And this is where Wonderbill comes in as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Wonderbill's brilliant. It's so it's like if you're one of those people that puts all your bills in a pile or doesn't really check your bills online, which I think so many of us are guilty of, this is kind of like putting your pile of bills onto your phone or onto onto your laptop. There's an app also on your desktop or laptop website. And basically what you do is once you've logged in to, let's say, your British Gas account, your Sky account, your O2 account, your Spotify account, whatever it might be, all of your bills, once you've done it, you've done it. That's it. It's over. The pain barrier is broken through. And then after that, every month, your bills will automatically appear into Wonderbill, and you will see that in 6 days' time, you've got to pay £79 to O2. In 3 days' time, you've got to pay your £39 subscription to Sky. Your Spotify £14.99 is coming out in 10 days' time. And also, they are constantly in the background comparing the prices. So they'll look at my electricity bill and say, hang on, you're spending way too much money on your electricity. Click this button and let me switch you. So they'll do all of the hard work for you because the forms are preloaded with all of your information, because they've got your information because you've logged in. They'll do the switching for you. So it makes it so unbelievably easy. It means you can sit down, have your coffee, and just press the button which says, you know, find me a better deal, and off it goes. And that really works for me. You know, some people might want their filing cabinets and everything to have everything in paper, but for me, I like the ease of knowing I can always check really quickly what bills are coming out and when, so I can manage my cash flow in my head, but also that I can switch, knowing that, oh, I'm out of contract, I can get a cheaper price.
Yeah, and I think it's that thing is that everyone's moving away from paper billing anyway. I now got an email when my credit card bills come in. Because of security, it doesn't tell me much. I have to go through the security barrier of putting it all in there. So once you've got this sort of thing set up, it's securely handled by Wonderbill, and they make sure that you're on top of everything. And Shane, this, you must be making people's lives across the country so much easier. You're a good man, aren't you?
Well, we're trying to do our bit to help everybody be a little more bill brave and to really just rip that plaster off and get to know their bills a bit better, getting to know what they're paying, what they're using, and hopefully helping people save a lot of money in the process.
And Sarah, I suppose it gives them more time to watch you on TV, because you're going to be on there again sometime soon, knowing you anyway, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know. I have no plans, actually, but never say never. I'd know... plan to ever do Dragon's Den, and it just came out of nowhere. So, and it was an absolutely amazing experience. So you never know.
You're just happy you're sorting out people's restaurant chains, that sort of thing.
There you go.
Does the job every time. Thank you both for having a chat with us. Give us full details of how people can find Wonderbill.
So you can find out more at wonderbill.com, and you can download the app from the iOS and Android app stores.
Just search for Wonderbill in there. Shane Clifford of Wonderbill, co-founder, thank you for joining us. And of course, Sarah Willingham, former dragon. Who knows, you could be dragoning again anytime soon. I can see it happening. But good to have you both along with us.
Thanks for having us. Have a great day.
That's a lot for me for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Back with episode 464 of The Milk Bar next week. I'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from The Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from The Milk Bar. Yeah.